Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. And we're broadcasting today from our studios in Wausau. And when you do something like that, you generally have a lot of people. I'm the one that gets to talk on the microphone, but there are a lot of people behind the scenes who do a whole lot of work just to make a show like this happen. And back in Madison, Jane Rotunda, Dave Potratz, Chris Molina is with me here in Wausau. And then in Wausau, Rick Ryer, Jane Ritger, Jana Rose Schleiss have all done a lot to make this work. So it's with great pleasure that I wanted to mention their names and tell you about them. And our guest coming up next is going to be talking with us about fishing. It's time to get out the rods and the reels and get your boat going. If you've got a boat, fishing season is officially opened. And we're just waiting on our guest right now, who's going to be joining us, I hope, pretty quickly. His name is Justin Geike, and Justin is the founder and owner of Chase Outdoors in Rothschild, Wisconsin. He's got that business, Chase Outdoors, and he also does some guiding for fishermen as well. So wanted to talk with him about fishing, and of course we want to hear from you. Did you get out fishing on the opener? On the opening weekend? You know, I rarely go on the opening weekends anymore. And one of the reasons I do that is because there's a lot of people out there. But I like to go other times as well. Maybe you're one of those who wants to get out there right away to fish. If you have some questions or comments for him, and we have him up by phone now, so we're in good shape, you can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, or you can also comment on our Ideas Network Facebook page. And as a matter of fact, if you've got some good fish pictures, that might be a good place to put those photos. Justin Geike, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
You're a big fishing guy. What keeps you getting into the water every year, year in, year out?
Well, we're so fortunate to live in a place like North Central Wisconsin where there's so much diversity, not only on our local waters, but being able to travel, you know, an hour or 2 hours to get to destinations like the Bay of Green Bay or the Northwoods of Minocqua. It's just that constant awesome diversity of so many different species that really makes this area unique.
Yeah, they talk about Minnesota as the land of 10,000 lakes, so we've got more.
Well, yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's got more in every category, especially lakes.
So what's your business like? You sell all kinds of things at Chase Outdoors, I imagine.
Yeah, our retail location has treated us really well here over the last 4 years. We specialize in fishing and hunting equipment. We do some stuff outside of that appeals to campers and hikers. And then also with the firearms side of our business, we are pretty active in concealed carry and home defense.
So lots going on there. And you do some guiding once in a while as well?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I was just out this morning and then back out after it tomorrow.
So what do you usually take folks out for?
Well, again, like I mentioned before, with the diversity that we have here on the Wisconsin River and the flowages, we really follow the trend of the season. You know, right now, crappie fishing is exceptional because they're in the spawning stages. Walleye fishing is coming off of their spawn, and those fish are still really active. And then as we move forward, smallmouth bass fishing is absolutely exceptional in this area, and we're really well known for trophy muskie.
Yeah, that's my fish. I love to fish muskie.
Yeah, me too.
I was telling somebody, I'll tell my story, and then we'll get Mike on from Slinger, but I always like to brag that I once caught 91 inches of muskie in consecutive casts.
That's not something a lot of people can tout.
45 and a 46 inch muskie.
That's wonderful.
And the best part was my dad was in the boat to put the net to net it. So that was
That made it even better.
Well, let's hear from Mike and Slinger. Hi, Mike.
That sounds like a great story, Larry. I wish I'd have been in the boat with you. I like the smallies myself, as your guest was just talking about. We went to the Flambeau, the Chippewa, and boy, you get into the smallies, and they're just fantastic. And then 1-2 feet of water, and they're just fun to catch. My question was about my boat. I have a 25 Merc on a 14-foot smoker craft, and the trouble is if I'm trying to locate fish, and I'm going with my locator on, I'm going slow, the bow sticks up like a rocket ship, like I'm going to go to the moon. And I've heard people talk about fins or something you can put on the back of the engine that's wider, and it makes your boat plane quicker. Would that do me any good if I put something like that on the back of the boat?
That might certainly help when you're under power load trying to get up on plane. Those fins, or they call them whale tails, amount to your lower unit of your boat, and they help push the bow down. The other thing is, do you have a manual or a manual tilt and trim, or do you have an electronic one?
Manual.
Manual, okay. One thing that can help with that, too, in addition to the fins, is if you can mount your motor so that it actually is tilted further down under further load, and that'll also help push it down. And with boats that size, too, also the location of weighty things like your boat batteries can help, too. I tell a lot of guys if they have the space or capability, move those batteries up to the front of the boat, and that'll help keep it down some, too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, other thing, too, is transducers on fish locators can be extremely persnickety. And simply taking your transducer and moving it down one click could probably help you maintain reading bottom contact.
Yeah, there we go. Mike, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, with your fishing question, or maybe as you've got a good fishing story to tell. I've got a lot of, Mike. I bet you and I could probably sit here and trade fishing stories, Justin, for the whole show, but maybe somebody else has got some ideas. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. You know, we mentioned locators and fish locators. I've had them over, you know, for my fishing life practically, and they are, the new ones are absolutely amazing. I talk about some of the features and what you can get in a locator these days.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've been talking about that a lot here as we're getting the boats on the water for the first time of the year. And when I started selling, you know, fishing locators back in the mid-90s, the expensive one was the Lowrance X85, which sold for $399. And now the price points are easily over $1,000 on average, and some places up, you know, around $3,000. It's just crazy to see how rapidly that technology has come along. And the big things that have been driving that is going from black and white to color screens, adding GPS functions. With the GPS, now they've added the water depth contours. So what a great insurance policy for your boat to know what the depth is in front of you when you're up on plane. But what's really moved the needle for me is the introduction from Hummingbird of the side imaging technology.
Yeah.
That is absolutely worth every single cent that a guy pays on it. And it is expensive, but it's marvelous. And what that allows you to do is look out to the sides of the boat. And we were out on the Bay of Green Bay a couple weeks ago, and it was so important because we would mark an individual school of 2 to 6 walleyes, you know, 50 or 75 feet away from the boat, mark them with a GPS, pull back around, and cast at those specific fish. And it worked absolutely marvelous because if you weren't casting at that school, there could be 100 yards of nothingness. And it really cuts down on the time to locate and makes you an effective angler. And there's a lot of people that, you know, my wife calls them cheater boxes. But there's certainly, when you're talking about maximizing your time on the water, we're all so busy. Or being a competitive angler, if you're not utilizing it, you're not doing as good as you could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Ashley in Chippewa Falls, your turn. Thanks for calling. Ashley, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So my husband and I do have a small fishing boat. We live in Chippewa Falls, and we're big into fishing, but like you said, maximizing time, and we'd really like to get the kids into fishing as well. I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-month-old, and we just have been having a hard time getting them on any fish. I'm wondering if your caller has any suggestions.
Well, I don't have a ton of familiarity with the Chippewa Falls area in the lakes that they have. I do know that the Mississippi River is a tremendous fishery that offers some things offshore or smaller waters, back sloughs that you can get into. But really, I think that the best thing a person can do in trying to get children onto fish, which is so important so they fall in love with the sport and want to participate, is stop by your local pro shop. You know, get into, you know, your mom and pop bait shops or your locally owned independents. And if you tell them, hey, I just want to get my kids on some fish, I would be hard-pressed to think that you wouldn't have an easy time finding somebody to be more than willing to point you in the right direction. If here locally in the Wausau area, our community has done a great job in putting together a lot of areas that are really conducive for youth. But obviously, too, the other thing is start simple, go easy. With my son, we almost always fish with your traditional hook, bobber, and live bait techniques just because they appeal to everything that swims. It opens up those opportunities. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I would really look for some advice from some local pros in the area.
I think that's really, really good advice. And thing you also have to remember is when you're taking your young kids out, you're probably not going to do a lot of fishing yourself. You need to help them and make things work. You know, I spent most of my time when my daughter was really young putting bait on for her, and I've essentially set down my own fishing rod just to make sure that she had an enjoyable experience, for sure. Ashley, we'll talk about that some more coming up here. We're going to take a quick look at the news, though, first. Our guest today, though, Justin Geike, he is the founder and owner of Chase Outdoors. He'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller broadcasting from our Wausau studio today. I love this opportunity. And we're talking about all things fishing right now. We're about a weekend or a little less into the traditional start of the fishing season. You may have some questions about it with our guest who knows a heck of a lot about fishing, Justin Geike, founder and owner of Chase Outdoors in Rothschild, Wisconsin, does some guiding as well, and he's here to answer your fishing questions. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, email us at ideas@wpr.org, or again, post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Love to hear from you. We have Joe in Lincoln County on the line, and so let's take a call from Joe. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. In Lincoln County, I have some property, and nearby there are both Class 1 and Class 2 trout streams and creeks, small creeks. And, you know, I did some research and read into it a little bit, and Class 1 has natural reproduction, but they, you know, DNR site says there might be more smaller fish, but the Class 2 might have fewer fish but larger in size. And I just wanted to get some, advice on where do you think I should start targeting? You know, should I look more at the 1 or the Class 2? Are the headwaters better or kind of near where they feed into the larger rivers or where they some information on?
What part of Lincoln County are you in?
This is the western part. It's like near New Wood and Copper River.
Actually, it's surprising. It all depends on what you're looking to get. You know, as you travel across Highway 64 from Merrill towards Medford, there's a ton of places where trout streams are crossing. And I actually used to commute from Wausau to Medford every day and would stop just off the side of the road at a lot of these streams that were maybe only a couple feet wide at most. And when I dealt with those smaller streams, I was predominantly dealing with brook trout, which is the only native species of inland trout to Wisconsin. And a lot of those fish do have the natural reproduction, and you do catch a lot of fish and smaller fish, which I typically just go and throw something like a Panther Martin spinner bait, or a lot of guys will use just a hook in a sinker type thing. And if you're up by Newwood and you get up off like that Tower Road area, you're going to find some larger streams that are, you know, 20 and 30 feet wide. And in some of those, a lot of times is where I found some of the larger fish, you know, where you get into some of the brown trout. And sometimes those brown trout are the bigger ones, you know, those higher teens, I mean, even up 20-inch fish, do want a bigger bait in low light periods, using things like small countdown Rapalas, larger spinners. Some guys even use minnows, can work really good. For me, I'm always looking for the deeper holes with current running through it. Generally, your deeper water is going to be on the outside bend of those trout streams. And generally, especially like with those big browns, they like to be in a place where you've got a lot of timber and cover where they can, you know, get well and protected. Bridges are also a great spot. Culverts are great. The one challenge that I've run into, though, is a lot of places where those bridges are, there's easy access for people that aren't taking waders or canoes or kayaks or beating the brush. So they get more pressure there. So I think it's better, if you're looking for the best that it has to offer, to get into the harder to reach spots and definitely look there. Another thing too, when you're looking for the biggest of the year, if you're specifically targeting browns, is I look for that hexagenia hatch that happens in late June and early July. And you get about 45 minutes of really fantastic fishing when that hex hatch starts, which generally starts right at sunset.
Right at sunset. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks,
no problem,
Joe.
Good luck.
Good luck. You mentioned kayaks, and there had Rick Ryer, as a matter of fact, had a question about fishing from a kayaks or a canoe, tactics for best fishing. And the kayaks, some of those fishing kayaks now are pretty sweet.
Oh, they're absolutely amazing. Yep, and I just got back from fishing down in Florida, and it's such a popular thing to do in the Gulf and some of these back areas, you know, these backwaters. Well, the place we were on, Sanibel Island, and the Dick Darling National Refuge is incredible, and it's absolutely perfect for fishing kayaks. And because there's so many guys doing them, boy, you see a lot of these things like the Hobie Cats that have the propellers down below them are absolutely marvelous, and they built rod holders, and I even see guys down there with fish locators mounted to them. So they've really come a long ways.
I think one of the things I like about fishing from a kayak this time of year, if you're going to do some bass fishing, you can get into places that the bass boats can't get into.
Oh, yeah, there's no question, especially some of these sloughs and backwaters of the Wisconsin River. There's so many places that guys can't get to with conventional boats that are exceptional, especially, too, this time of year when we have the higher water. You know, you can get into some of these places that, you know, a lot of the times of the year you can't get into that offer some good things. And right now doing that for smallmouth is an excellent option just because they're starting to move up shallow for the spawning season and they're super aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kenneth in Janesville wondered, he said, I saw people fishing earlier than the opening date. Are there exceptions or are they just breaking the rules?
No, there absolutely is. Here, especially in the Wausau area, game fish season outside of muskie is open year-round. And those waters would include the Wisconsin River and flowages like Lake Wausau and Lake DuBay. And the one thing is you got to be very close with the regulations. Like on Lake Wausau, for example, the only thing that's considered part of the Wisconsin River that stays open is up to the first bridges of the tributaries. So even though the river is accessible by boat or kayak, it is closed once you get to that first bridge until the opener. So you just need to be aware of regulations, but there are definitely a number of year-round game fish opportunities.
I remember a story of a friend of mine, I won't mention his name, he was fishing in the Madison Lake chain, and he was caught something in Lake Mendota and then decided to try Monona, and so he went through the lock and dam and got over into Monona and then was stopped by a warden, And the size limit on the fish that he had kept was different in Monona than it was in Mendota. And he wound up getting a ticket because of it. You have to pay attention to the rules and regulations a lot of times, even for an individual lake.
Yes, absolutely. And we deal with that, again, like I was speaking with some of our flowages, what constitutes, like Lake Dubay, for example, whereas the regulations, once you get back into some of these other areas, do change and slot limits change. So, yes, you absolutely need to be aware of how different some of those things can be.
You know, Justin, probably the majority of people who are listening today who want to fish or who do fish don't have a boat. And let's talk about effective ways to shore fish and fishing rivers as well.
Well, that's really how I cut my teeth. Growing up in Mosinee, you can pretty much go a mile in any direction and be on the Wisconsin River or its flowages by bicycle. So I beat around on the shorelines a whole bunch as a kid, and it's also can be an advantage, like we were talking about earlier with spawning smallmouth or spawning crappies, things like that, where you can get into places that you can't with a boat. So it's not always a disadvantage. One thing when I have people come through and are staying at the hotel and are looking to just go wet a line for an hour or two, I generally send them down below a lot of our hydro dams and power plants that have constantly moving water or access to deeper water, where those fish might push up against shore looking to get out of the current breaks, and certainly can be successful with that. The only real big difference I tell guys is if you're traditionally using like a monofilament line, consider switching to a super line like a Power Pro or like a Fire line in a heavier test. Say you're typically a guy who's using 8-pound monofilament, try to bump up to that 20-pound braid. And the only reason I say that is because if you're standing on shore and your lure gets stuck, you can't get it out like you can with a boat where you can maneuver over to it. So having that tougher line helps you lose a lot less lures.
Yeah, it certainly does. And when we talk about lures, you know, I'm thinking about my own musky lures, which I'm trying to remember how many tackle boxes. I think I have 4 tackle boxes that are completely filled with musky lures, and then I have a pail that's also filled with a bunch of lures, and then when I go, I usually wind up with about 3 that I use most of the time, whatever seems to be working the best. But what talk about lures a bit.
Well, and I will say this, musky fishermen are definitely cut from a different cloth when it comes to lures. Because there's so much prominence of locally handmade stuff and custom painted lures and the emotional attachment you can get to a bait from a single memory, musky fishermen are pretty particular and pretty passionate about the lures, almost to the point where they care about the lures more than the fish. But it's funny, I'm one of those guys too, there's no question. I believe very much in the subtle differences from one lure to another without question. And I don't think there's any place where that's more prevalent than in bass fishing, where you can see some of these really little differences, the difference between a 3/4-ounce tungsten weight and a 1-ounce tungsten weight. It's just a marvelous puzzle to put together. But with musky fishing, you know, for me, it's a big thing is what am I confident in? And I'm in the same spot. I'm not a big match-the-hatch kind of guy. But generally, because there's such a low population density, low experience thing, I grab what I just have most confidence in and throw it. And one of the greatest guys that I've ever met as a successful musky fisherman is a legendary guide out of Lake of the Woods. His name was Doug Johnson. And when I was a young guy staying up by his place, I went out on the dock and his boat was there and he had a whole bunch of musky lures laid out. And there were 2 colors. They were fluorescent or black. And I asked him, I said, why are those the only 2 colors that you throw? He said, because they're the 2 colors I can see. and I think he had made a statement how little he cared about actually choosing the color to suit the fish. Now, for me, I've seen certain bodies of water be very particular to what color they prefer. you know, you've seen this huge push on the Chippewa flowage where a fluorescent green blade has really kind of dominated what everybody's used. You get up into the Three Lakes and Eagle River area where perch are such a predominant forage for the muskies there. I find myself constantly throwing a perch colored bait. But the actual bait that I choose, it comes down to which one I just have the most confidence in.
Yeah, that's a, because that's the one you're going to throw the best and work the hardest. I was thinking about the turtle flambeau flowage. At one point, yellow was the color there. If you were fishing musky, you wanted baits that were yellow in color. And I haven't fished up there in a couple of years. It's probably changed. It's probably
else. The one thing I do believe that fish can get conditioned to lures very easily. In having the subtle differences in them on a high-pressured body of water can certainly make a difference. When you're talking about a giant body of water like the turtle flambeau, though, I'll bet you there's a whole lot of fish that you're running into that probably haven't been caught on that bait in at least several years. So I wouldn't probably lend myself to be too concerned about that. But you look at a body of water like Eagle River, which gets so much pressure, sometimes I do look to make those changes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Justin Geike, our guest today, founder and owner of Chase Outdoors in Rothschild. We're talking fishing with him. If you got a story to tell or a question to ask about fishing, give a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. You know, some of the best experiences I've had fishing were with a guide. And a guide can do a whole lot. You guide. Talk about what value do you add to the experience?
Well, there's so much. It all comes down to what a person's looking to achieve on with their time on the water. I've never thought that the best fisherman was the one who caught the most fish. That's important if you're a tournament fisherman, but for the overwhelming majority of people, it's a hobby. And I think what equates to being successful in your hobby is finding pleasure in it. And so to me, I've always said the person that enjoys the sport the most is the one who's the best at it. And if you're looking to maximize having the best time possible in a place that you're unfamiliar with, you can eliminate the stress of either not having the right equipment or not knowing the right lure or having the lack of familiarity with the water or with, like, our flowages, a lot of them are dangerous to navigate. You can ruin a good day on the water pretty fast by hitting a stump if you're unfamiliar with where you're going. So what a guide offers is so much more than even just the fish you catch. It's the knowledge of how to run the water. It's the knowledge of how to set up, you know, the lake-specific equipment and use it properly. That's a really great thing. And it doesn't matter how much you know or how much you don't know about fishing. You're always going to learn by getting out with other people. I hire a guide every single year when I go down to Florida, and certainly I've learned from going down there how to catch the fish. But when you're talking about a huge body of water like the Gulf of Mexico, those seasonal changes and patterns and migrations of fish, you can't just show up and immediately know that. You know, you need to be 30 miles further to the east, and there's just so much benefit in education in that. It's amazing how, as I travel around and go and fish in different places in the country, how much those little things that their grandpa taught them or their buddy taught them that I can bring back here home and apply it and have my own success with, you know, right here.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark in New Glarus, we'll give you a chance now. Mark, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hey, I would like to comment that you can make a fishing kayak very quickly and easily, and you can buy I did this before they were around. You can buy a kayak for about $180, and you can rig up a really nice, quick and easy anchor. You need an anchor for like the rivers, and you put a few grommets in and some bungee cords to put your paddle in, so you can put the paddle somewhere while you're fishing. And so for $5 or $10, you can modify a kayak very effectively.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Justin, a comment?
No, he's absolutely right. I mean, that's where invention and technology comes out of is necessity to make an improvement. So there absolutely is. If you already have an existing kayak, you don't need to sell it and go out and get, you know, a fishing specific one. There's things. One thing we do is we sell a lot of like Scotty rod holders to mount onto existing kayaks too, and it works absolutely excellent. There's no question about it.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Richard in Colfax, your turn. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I heard your guest talking about the technology improvements in locators and hiring guides. And, of course, the guides know where the fish are. So if you hire one, you don't have that period of time that where you do the learning. And that all puts more pressure on the fish. And catch and release becomes more and more important. And it's also causing the bag limits to shrink because the fishermen are so good and they have so much electronics. And Lake Winnebago now has just had their walleye limit lowered from 5 to 3 because, you know, the guys go out there. There's so many guys that fish boards now, and a boat will have, you know, 4 or 6 or 8 boards out. They locate a school of walleyes, and if there's 3 people in the boat, there's 15 walleyes, and then there's a good chance they're going to be back tomorrow and the day after that, maybe even in the morning and the afternoon illegally, taking their limit of walleyes twice a day. And it's really put a pressure on the resource.
Yeah, well, let's get a comment from Justin on that.
He's 110% correct. There's no question about that. And it's one of those, you know, it's the give and take of the sport. You know, we try really hard to get kids into fishing, and I think it's really important to do that, because if we don't have people participating in the sport and in spending money on the sport, then we lose our voice. You know, here in Wisconsin, it's not as prevalent, but in other places in the country, you know, sportsmen are fighting for their right to continue to do what they love. And we're seeing in places like, you know, Washington, where bodies of water are getting, you know, completely shut off to fishing. It's a bad thing. And just like anything, whether it's, you know, hunting or fishing, you know, participations and dollars that are spent in the sport and the hobby, those are votes. And if we don't get those people involved in the sport, then we don't have them contributing to the conservation. You know, one thing I don't think people probably realize is every product in hunting and fishing that's manufactured pays a 10% tax from the manufacturing standpoint that virtually no other industry in the country does. And that money goes, you know, into a a government conservation fund. So
Pittman Robertson,
I was kind of joked. What's that?
Pittman Robertson.
Yes, thank you. You know, I always said we can't work so hard to get you know, people involved in the sport of fishing and then get too upset when they get older and buy a boat. but it is what we want. It is important. But with the increase in pressure, and we are getting, you know, more fishermen and more capable fishermen, you know, we're not obtaining more bodies of water and more fish. So we are going to see continued increases in regulation to protect those, and it's important to do that. You know, one of the big concerns, and I take my hat off to some of these captains on Green Bay, you know, guys like Captain Brett Jolly and Brent Alexander, who absolutely have the legal right to go out and keep, you know, limits upon limits of trophy class fish,
and they don't,
as far as eaters, and they don't do it. In fact, if you go look on Facebook, you know, they're adamant about it because it is important to them to protect the fishery. You know, they'll even say, if you're a guide for me and you whack a 25-incher for food.
Yeah, I tell you what, we are out of time, Justin. It's probably a decent time to close. I want to thank you so much, Justin Geike, founder and owner of Chase Outdoors in Rothschild, Wisconsin, our guest today. And I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody who's worked on this today here in our Wausau studio. And thank you for listening.